kick ass. Want to make your life better? This is the Kick-Ass Life Podcast with David Wood.
Good morning and top of the morning to you. This is the 602nd, which has become much longer, Kick-Ass Life Show, designed to put a little smile on your face, a little spring into your step, and allow me to give you a little push in the body. That's right, a little kick in the rump, or as I like to call it, a little kick in the arse. Now, do you realise I always start with a few fun facts? Owls, you ooh, 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 those kind of things. Owls are the only birds who can't see the colour blue. Lightning strikes about 6,000 times per minute on this planet. That's crazy. And recycling one glass jar saves enough energy to watch TV for 3 hours. I'm sure we could do better things without 3 hours and watch TV. Do you realise this? Slugs, those beautiful little things that slime up all over your garden, have 4 noses. Not one, but 4. And in space, astronauts can't cry. They can't cry because there's no gravity. So the tears can't flow. Oh,
well, you know what? Sadly, I have to say, I'm riding really solo today. I'm actually on the road. I'm training in the beautiful city of Nanaimo, British Columbia. So I was on stage all night last night, and I'm actually have a reprieve. Somebody else is on stage right now. So I snuck away. And lovely Jen, I was hoping to be able to connect her through my phone, but it ain't gonna happen. So, sadly, I'm doing the show alone. But I miss her so much. Me heart is throbbing. It's throbbing and beating in me chest.
But, you know, I've been sent a lot of questions on Facebook. And I'm going to ask people who have questions if you can do them a little shorter and punchier. And if you can do them on the open page, that way we don't have to try and retrieve them from all different locations. But I'll get to a few I can today. And I know there's going to be a lot more than I can do in one kick-ass life show. But it seems like people are enjoying this format, which is awesome. I'm always trying to tweak the show and make it better. I do have an apology. I want to dedicate this show to Trevor. Trevor sent me a Facebook message the other day, just letting me know that the sound quality has been pretty crappy lately. And unfortunately, in my move, my recording studio still is not set up in my own office. I'm just renovating the office. So I have been using remote sources, and I sort of had already left on this trip before I got Trevor's notification. So, you know, I am recording through my phone without an external jack. So, again, I apologize for any quality issues that we're experiencing, but, you know, I'd rather put it out there and knowing that it's going to get better. So, thank you, Trevor. This show is dedicated to you. Thank you for your honesty. All right, so let's start this. Jason C. Gass. Dave, I actually am living a kick-ass life. I love my job. I own a personal training company. I just bought my house. Busy traveling, enjoying every weekend. So here's the problem. I just turned 40, single dad, and I don't want to be a 60-year-old trainer and miss out on my daughter's everyday life because I have to work all the time and run my business. My question is, any advice on how to create a kick-ass life that I can have freedom of my time and I can sustain until through retirement? Thanks so much. Love everything you're doing. Okay. Thanks, Jason. All right. Well, you know, I mean, I talk about this all the time. For the average person, and I say average, I mean, I'm average. So, you know, the average person being, you know, you're not born into means. In other words, you don't have a family fortune that's being handed down to you. There are a lot of ways to create wealth. And I have friends who listen to the show who have created their wealth through a conventional business platform. I do know that each one of those people have something in common. Either they have a business background and they've studied business and they've gone through multiple kind of business opportunities where they've learned. That's one way. And often they've made mistakes and they've had big challenges in their life. Or they have partnered with someone that has the business acumen and they focus on, you know, I mean, because every business really, if you think about it, it's like this business really, comes down to 80% marketing.
it doesn't matter what you do, unless you can get it out there to people or any business you have, it's very, very hard to get it out there unless you have some acumen in that regard. But if you have someone who partners with you and has business sense and can help you with the business side of your business, it's possible and easy to create wealth. But we have about almost an 80% failure rate in conventional business because people simply lack the skills. That's why I'm a proponent of network marketing. And because it's one of the ways that, you know, the great saying, my wealth can only grow to the extent I grow myself. And so you need to be sort of investing in yourself, but being in an environment of transformation where you can learn, first of all, what is the industry really about? Why am I in love with it? Why does Donald Trump love it? Why does Robert Kiyosaki love it? Why does Warren Buffett love it? All these rich people are saying that this is the business of the 21st century. This is the new method of business. Because people get into it and they don't need this business skills, marketing, you know, accounting, hiring, all those kinds of things. They need the human skills, which are things you can learn, you know, connecting, listening, you know, being fascinated and interested by people. But you've got to find the right company. And there is a video I made, if you want to watch it, it's called Network Marketing Mythbuster. Network Marketing Mythbuster on YouTube. And that sort of, it's a generic video. It just talks about the industry. Now, I recorded that at home, you know, through my Mac, so it's not the highest quality, but it will just give you the facts about the industry and why I love it so much. But a lot of people, you know, they've tried it, they've dabbled, they put a half a foot in, and they've never really given themselves permission to be trained and to learn how to do it properly. And so people have come and gone and said, oh, it doesn't work. Well, I can tell you, it absolutely works. And personally, I've helped create 92 millionaires in this industry. In the company I'm working with right now, we have 92 millionaires. And so it's really possible. And these are people from all walks of life, all confidence levels, all ethnicities, education levels. But it is a process. You know, it's not get rich quick. But that's one way I'd say, you know, Jason, if you want to create it, then you have to get into an environment of transformation. Because if you get into a conventional business, then, you know, typically you're tied to the store unless you can create other paths. Now, I've got other paths of residual and passive income streams, real estate, which typically you need some money to start. So if you have money and you say, well, I want to do that, it's a slower process. You don't buy real estate and become wealthy overnight. It's a process like everything is. So Jason, I'd say that's one way. There are many ways and you can start your own business, but typically business owners don't have time freedom. They are slaves to their business because they don't. There's a book I want you to read, Jason, if you are considering a conventional business, which is The E-Myth by Gerber, The Entrepreneurial Myth. If you read that, that will give you an understanding then of why or how to set up a real business where you can have freedom and you can create freedom. But freedom is, I think, is ultimately what most of my students are looking for. And there's just very few vehicles that I can plug them into where I know they're going to grow. And as they grow, their wealth will grow. So it's kind of like personal development is one of the keys to transformation. You've got to be putting good stuff in your head. And so there you go. All right. Lisa Hall, she says, my question, do you really know how to install a washing machine? I love the show. Keep kicking ass. Yeah, I do. And yeah, so should you. It's not the hardest thing. There's two little tubes at the back. Screw them on. Plug it in. You'll be all right. All right. Alan Mayer. You mentioned on the last call, but will you clarify how to stay out of the I can't afford that and too much month at the end of the money battles? Great question, Alan. This is the big thing. It's called a default mode, and people slip into it. So if you've grown up in that poverty mentality, and remember, your conditioning from your parents, your grandparents, your teachers. I find this hilarious. Not hilarious, but it's interesting that our children are educated by people earning about $60,000 a year. And so, I mean, so the primary education they have is by people who don't know or don't understand how to create wealth. So we're never taught how to create wealth, and we're never taught to think that money is something we can all have. And by the way, I'm just reading these questions as they came in. If you go on Facebook, on the Kick-Ass Life Facebook page, you'll see the Kick-Ass Life podcast with David Wood is what it's called. You'll see these are just lined up. These are people who've just written them down. So I haven't batched these together even. But, you know, the whole idea is that, you know, you're conditioned to say that. It's a default mode. I can't afford it. I can't afford it. I can't afford it. You know, I don't have the time. I can't afford it. Default mode. Well, a lot of people do when an opportunity arises, they'll say that without even understanding they've said it. They don't even aware anymore that that's what's happened. So, just recording. Thank you. what happens there is you have to challenge that. So when an opportunity comes along, ask a new question. How can I afford it? How do I find the time? How can I afford it? How do I find the time? And you'll be surprised once you start asking your brain better questions, how you can become so much more resourceful, and how things can happen. And that's why vision boards, if I haven't got a vision board, are so important and so critical in success, is to really start reprogramming yourself around money and finances and what's possible. And in my own story, remember, I left school at 15, could hardly read and write, backpacked for 10 and a half years, started off as a waiter, working $4 an hour in a country where I knew nobody, and have been able to create tremendous wealth and the life of my dreams where I can have everything I want. But I had to retrain myself because I grew up in poverty and real Western poverty. I mean, it was really, we had no fridge and we lived in a condemned building and stuff like that. So it's not like, you know, that I was just, my mom was poor. My mom was devastatingly poor. You know, we only had three beds and four of us. So every fourth night we'd have to rotate and sleep with my mom. But, you know, condemned building, we had, you know, vermin all through the house. I mean, it was quite different. So having seen that, you know, and having grown up in a poor mentality, and my mom always spends more than she ever makes. Always, still has always been in debt. So that's a condition that I had to break because that's what I had, right? So hopefully that answers that for you. Next one, Michelle Edis. Hey, David, love listening to you and Jen on the Ask Dave session. Could you please explain a little bit more about what accelerated whole brain learning is? Thank you. You all, Michelle, nice to hear from you again. Accelerated learning, whole brain learning. I wish if there's any teachers listening that you could understand this piece. That's what I use. And last night's a great example. I'm in an event with about 180 people, and I open the event. And within minutes, the whole room is alive with activity, with energy, and that's really what I do as a trainer. I manage energy, and it's the same. If you think you're a visual learner, you're a kinesthetic learner, or you're an auditory learner, you know, you have three very different styles of learning. And unfortunately, like in schools, that's why boys especially fail so miserably a lot at school unless they're wired a certain way. Because every 7 minutes, you know, your brain just sort of needs to be re-energized with movement, with speaking, with interaction. So whole brain learning or accelerated learning is where you're using multiple modalities to fire up the brain and to ignite it so that when people learn from even a speaker or presenter in a boardroom, I train people from all different walks of life or different backgrounds, you know, people who are heads of billion-dollar corporations to, you know, network marketers, to anyone, teachers, anyone who stands in front of people. And the beauty is I use templates and systems that just ignite the brain. And imagine lighting it up. Imagine your brain, all the synapses firing between, you know, across your brain. And that the more you implement these techniques, the more someone's going to not only learn, but love learning and retain for years and years and years. 10 years from now, they'll remember what happened in that meeting. The opposite of that is where, you know, somebody stands in front of the room with a PowerPoint and just talks. And you watch the energy in the room. I always sit at the back of the room and see how the energy just cascades and falls on the floor. I mean, it's just boring. And because people can't retain information that way. But you have to be like relationship building. You have to ask great questions. You have to listen to the audience. And I always teach people how to have a conversation with an audience. So the first thing out of your mouth is a question. The second thing out of your mouth is a question. The third thing out of your mouth is a question. And then suddenly you're in this conversation with an audience where you have to be more interested than interesting. And then you add in a few templates and suddenly you've got something called accelerating whole brain learning. There's a lot of science behind it, a lot of nuances. I teach that at my advanced programs. But hopefully that answers that question, Michelle. Okay, Andrew, you got to ask shorter questions, my friend. Andrew says, how does one overcome the loneliness of being in a loveless, unsupported marriage? I've been married for 18 years. My wife doesn't like what I do for a living. I'm a personal fitness trainer because she doesn't feel it provides enough security. Meanwhile, she's not looking for ways to contribute to the family income. I know I can only do what I can do, and I'm trying to build a new income with a network marketing nutrition company, but I feel very alone. You know, Andrew, I'm not an expert in marriages and relationships, but I do work with experts, and I do know what I've learned. So again, I want to remind people, this is just what I believe. It doesn't make it right, doesn't make it wrong, doesn't make it true, doesn't make it false. If it works for you, do it. If it doesn't, chuck it out. But Andrew, what I know about what men look for and what women look for in a relationship, one of the primary things a woman is looking for is safety. So safety, connection, and protection are the three primary things. So let me say those again. Safety, connection, and protection. But it has to be emotionally safe, physically safe, spiritually safe, financially safe. And what I hear in your words there is that this is a much deeper problem, because it's already, well, I'm doing this, I'm on my path, I've chosen my path, she doesn't appreciate it, so she's not feeling safe financially, but she's also not contributing. So there's blame in there that I hear. And remember, if we just stop blaming, complaining, and justifying, we can really step into deeper relationships. Imagine you took 100% responsibility for her feelings and everything in your relationship together. Now, whether she's ready to take 100% responsibility doesn't matter, but at some point, somebody has to go first, all right? The question is whether you want to sustain and have a beautiful marriage with your wife, and whether you want to explore the ecstasy of true relationship, which includes the ups and downs, the peaks and valleys. It includes the dark times and the hard times. It's not just that it's all rosy. It's learning how to fight beautifully. It's learning how to communicate openly. But, you know, what I would say is this, is there's a stalemate going on in this relationship, Andrew. And I don't know if you love your wife still. When I read this, I question your love of where she's at, who she is. But if every man listening understood those three basic principles, if a woman feels safe in those areas, she is going to blossom in a way you've never seen. She's going to open her heart, and it's going to translate to all areas, including physical areas, where your love life will go through the roof when a woman feels completely safe. Remember, safety, protection, and connection. Protection and connection, right? The man's three needs is freedom, appreciation, and trust. So freedom, appreciation, and trust. So a lot of women, again, you know, when it's like when you ask a guy to do something, and he'll say yes, but he may not do it right away. But when he does it, you know, it's there's that sort of like, well, you know, he didn't do it when I wanted. But if you just get that idea of appreciation, hey, thanks, honey, I so appreciate it, right? Giving him trusting that it'll happen instead of trying to micromanage it, but creating freedom within the relationship. So those are the three primary things a man and woman want. So Andrew, I'd say start there. And then ask yourself the question, you know, whether, you know, you guys are communicative and understand that maybe you need to simplify your life and manage your money differently with the income you have coming in while you're growing this new income. Or maybe you can do it together where you are ultimately going to sort of step into this new relationship where you have a greater understanding, a greater appreciation, a greater honesty, a deeper and richer love affair, right? And so the idea then would be that that you could explore that. However, if you don't do those things, if you don't ask those questions, if you don't start to understand what it is that she's looking for, then ultimately what's going to happen is the relationship will continue to degrade to the point where you'll become strangers in your own household. And the question would be, is that what you want? And the question is, what are you willing to take responsibility for? So hopefully that that would answer that question. So the last one then was from Teresa. She says, "Hi, David. Wanted to take to get your take on this. When a disagreement occurs with my spouse, he makes comments that are quite hurtful and very damaging to our relationship. Any of these jibes unveiling the true way he is thinking about? Are these jibes unveiling the true way he is thinking of us, me, or is this a case of just puking poison? And should I treat them as such? It truly seems as if the anger has just provided the vehicle to release his true feelings. Please say first name. I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah, I should have read that first. See, I don't read them beforehand, so I do apologize. I may have to edit this one out. So we'll get the producer to go in there and edit that last name out, Teresa, and answer that. I can understand that. So if you write a question to me, remember, I'm not pre-reading them and preparing. I just really want to trust myself in the moment to answer questions. So if you just write anonymous first, that would be very, very helpful, okay? This is, again, you know, there's a wonderful saying that says you teach people how to treat you. And again, if we take 100% responsibility for everything in our life and everything not in our life, is it all right for him to do that? No, of course not. And I suppose the question would be where are you at with this relationship? Is it something that you would love to evolve back into something more beautiful? In which case, you know, are you prepared to do the work? Or is it already too late? Has he already damaged that with the words he said? Because those words, it's hard to retake those words back. When someone is spiteful or hateful or degrading, and I imagine, you know, Teresa, that, you know, this could be a repetitive thing where maybe somewhere in your life it's happened when you were early on in your life, maybe with parents or teachers or bullies, where you've heard that before. Because typically we keep attracting the same stuff into our life over and over again until we learn the lesson. So, you know, you could leave this guy and end up with somebody else who's just like it. It's like, you know, you see that with alcoholics. You know, people who have alcoholic parents end up marrying alcoholic husbands, right? And there's some interesting reasons for that. Coming down to self-value and self-love and self-worth. And some people, they get trapped in there. And then you start listening to something like this where you start to question it, and suddenly you see the poison. A lot of people live in the poison. They don't even hear it. They're just so conditioned to be treated that way that they just go that way their whole life. So, Teresa, I think there's two points. No, it's not okay for anyone to talk to you that way. So you have to stop it and then challenge it. And the question is, if in the challenging process you say, hey, listen, you know, I need to talk to you, and I'm not going to accept this anymore. You can't talk to me that way anymore. So we have to make a choice. Either we have to find a way to stop this relationship, or we have to find a way to start it. And if we're going to start it, there's going to be a new set of rules, which is you can't talk to me that way, and I won't accept. I will not tolerate any more being treated this way. Now, in the beginning, because it's happened so much and so long, he may turn into a complete ass or a complete bear and become completely irrational. If you'll have safety issues, in other words, if this is a safety issue for you, and this person is on the verge of hurting you physically, and is just a complete, then you need to ask for help. And you need to get out of that space, and you need to understand that the journey of self-love, where you'll fall hopelessly in love with you and be able to step into a new story in your life, but first you have to leave this story behind, or you have to reinvent it. But there is no point when your heart is broken through this kind of poison, and that there is no love or respect, and when you look at each other, you don't even like being touched by this person, you know, it may already be way too late for that. And again, I'm not an advocate of divorce, but I am an advocate of happiness. And your job, Teresa, I imagine you may have children, is to become, you know, be the person you want to be in the world, or be the change you want to see in the world. And if you want the world to be a happier place, we have to work on our own internal happiness. We have to find that place within us that is perfectly imperfect, that beauty within, that magnificence that each of us really has. And again, when we've grown up with hard worlds, I know my sister, it took her 10 years, maybe 11 or 12 years almost, she calls it her healing journey. And she went through some horrific things when she was young, and she kept attracting these complete assholes into her life, but she couldn't see it. And now she's sort of totally hopelessly in love with herself, totally and hopelessly in love with who she is, and she's discovered herself. It took a long time. However, Teresa, again, I would say that it's time to stop this, and it's time to reclaim that dignity and that beauty and that love in the imperfection. And it doesn't matter how you look. It doesn't matter if you're too heavy. It doesn't matter if you're too skinny. It doesn't matter if you have hair or no hair. You know, self-love is something is beyond the imperfection, right? So hopefully that helps. But ask for help if you need it. If your safety issue is at risk, or there's some safety issues here, you know, ask for help. And again, I will get my producer to go in and X out your last name, and I apologize for that. There are other questions that are in my personal inbox, and we have a few minutes left here. We've been going 30 minutes, but I do want to say thank you for these. They really are very fascinating for me, and I find it to be you know, this is where experience does come in, you know, and many of these questions are simply questions I think we all have. When you dig down into these questions, you know, it's about, you know, freedom, and it's about having time with loved ones. It's about having a relationship that is valuable and uplifting and has dignity and class, you know, and that in the shitty times, remember, because I do believe every relationship is challenged. And I have a gay friend of mine, Rick, who sat down with me, I had a men's program I was running, and we had all these men sitting around, and he offered a suggestion. We were talking about relationships, and he talked about setting the ground rules for fighting when you're at your zenith. So when you're in the most connected, beautiful space, you know, you've just made love, you're laying there in the afterglow, there's connection, you're looking into each other's eyes, you're having a bath together, and you're feeling very, very deeply connected. That's the time to talk about, look, you know, that next time we fight, how do we want it to look? And how can we fight beautifully? So, because, I mean, it does happen when you lose your patience or control or whatever, but how then can you set the ground rules? So if poison does come out of your mouth, that person doesn't eat it. They don't take it on. They understand it's just, you know, you puking out how you feel about you. And that's the other thing, Teresa, just to say that. Everything somebody says more about them than you. When somebody, everything they say, if somebody is hateful, it's because they hate themselves. It's not because they hate you. If somebody is judgmental, it's because they judge themselves. It's not because they judge you. If somebody is impatient with you, it's because they're totally impatient with themselves. So whatever you're seeing on the outside is just truly a mirror of the inside. Our inner world creates our outer world, right? And that's why I say about Hitler, you know, if Hitler had gone through one of my programs when he was young, or a couple of them, I guarantee he would never have gone to war. He would never have killed, you know, millions of people, because, you know, that's just a pure reflection of his own inner hatred, right? So again, whenever anyone is being hateful to me, I just realize it's really about them, and I do have compassion. It took me a long time to find that place where I could hear that stuff and be compassionate, but I also won't tolerate it. I do believe in setting ground rules and drawing lines in the sand. So anyway, that's very serious, this call today, but I do want to say thank you. Don't forget, by the way, the Island Project sold out. We are going to be there in July, but we just had a family who had to pull out because of an unforeseen circumstance. So I do have a triple room open where for a lady. So if there's a lady out there who'd like to come and spend a week with us, there is a triple room available. And then this family just pulled out, so we now have a double bed in a beautiful central villa right on the water as well that will be available. So there are three spots now still available. If anyone's interested, then do that. If you want to, you know, ask me any questions more privately about, how I can help you understand some of these things, I'll do the best I can. Obviously, there's just one of me, so, and I do answer my own emails. So with that being said, you know what I'm going to do? Get out there, have a great day, and go do something extraordinary. You know, there's that idea, what's the difference between ordinary and extraordinary? It's a little bit of extra. And so, I urge you to get out there and step into something magnificent. Go do something you haven't done. Try something new. Try a new adventure. Go walk down a different street. And don't forget, saying hello is one of the easiest things to do. And just connect with more people. So if you're a kick-ass life practitioner, I want you to practice introducing yourself and saying hello to, four or five new people every single day, and watch what happens. Just start conversations. And the easy way, again, is a smile, a hello, and ask some questions. And people love talking about themselves, their journey, what's going on for themselves. So I urge you to do that and get out there, and I'll see you on the other side.
That was kick-ass.